It is very manipulative. And this is really the dark side of influencing, because I feel like a lot of these younger influencers, a lot of these like really young girls that are really beautiful, think nothing bad's gonna happen to me. You know what? I deserve to have a rich man paying for me to spend time with him.
R-O-T-N. Let me present to you the Rotten Podcast. The Rotten Podcast.
How do you want me to say it?
Rotten.
Good morning, Rotten Podcast. We are back, episode 34. I feel rusty. It's crazy. It's only been a couple weeks and I just wasn't nervous to get back in, but I'm like, all right, I'm excited. I'm ready.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys haven't watched the last episode of the Rotten Podcast, aka episode 33, baby, I have been gone for like 2.5 weeks outside of the country. I left. Actually, that's a lie. I went to Europe for 10 days. 6 days in Portugal, 3.5 days in Paris, had the best freaking time. I went by myself to Paris. I was a little nerve-wracking, but I think I got it down, and I'm so excited to bring Matt to Paris because I have that city figured the out.
Like the transportation system and everything, right?
Not only that, if you watch TikToks about Paris, people are scared because like there is currently a garbage worker strike and people are rioting. But I saw none of that. I almost feel like that was blown out of proportion because I felt completely safe. I had no one following me. But again, I came into it being like, I'm going to Paris by myself. I need to make sure that I am not doing anything stupid, like looking like a tourist. The last thing I wanted to do was act like a tourist. So if I wasn't sure where to go, I would pull off to the side and like look at my Google Maps instead of like walking down the middle of the street and then stopping between people and just like looking. Like I would make sure it looked like I was purposely like walking towards something, even if I was completely lost.
Just walking to an alleyway.
Yeah, just turning around. Walking, like walking with a purpose, walking fast, because I feel like tourists take their time. And I actually had multiple people come up to me and speak French to me, being like, hey, like,
can you help me find this?
Can you help me find this? And I'm like, yo, like, I'm not from this city. So I almost feel like tourists even thought I wasn't a tourist, which is like the best compliment ever. And I was really safe. And I figured out the subway system. It's so freaking easy. And I don't know. I just had a great, great time. And I definitely can't wait to bring you to Paris.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it's kind of like Chicago. When I tell people I'm from Chicago, they're like, oh my God, it's so dangerous, da da da. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times, those bigger issues within cities, sometimes they're recognizable from the outside. Like if you go to SF and you see the homelessness crisis.
Yeah.
But if you go to the downtown heart of Chicago, you're not going to see murders and crime and stuff like that. Of course, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. But you really have to go to specific parts of the city to witness all of that stuff. So I'm sure you were only even there for less than 3 days. There's no way you'd be able to.
I was there for three full days.
Three full days.
More than 3 days. Yeah, like you said, it's you see in pockets and stuff, but I really didn't witness any of the stuff people were so nervous about. And on top of that, I had this like little door jam that I bought that like made a lot of noise if someone tried to open your door, and it's really loud. And it is great. I actually used it in my first night in Paris because that hotel room was a little bit jankier and way bigger than I expected and wasn't in the best neighborhood. So like maybe the first day I wasn't nervous, but I was like more wary. But the second, third night, I actually stayed in Les Marais, which is a gay part of town. It's like the West Hollywood of Paris. And those guys just left you alone because they were like, you have the wrong...
You got the wrong crowd here, miss.
You got the wrong body parts, miss. Like, we don't want to touch you. So that was really fun.
It's so refreshing going to a city with good public transportation. And we, just to finish a little of your story, right when you got back from your 10-day excursion of travel, we hopped on a flight the next day to go to Seattle.
Yes.
And it was so refreshing going to a city where it's walkable, where they have really clean, good transportation system. I mean, it makes me wish that LA had such a better public transportation system.
I really feel like we need to give it a shot because maybe we are the people that, you know, are just like shit talking it, but we've never tried it. At least I haven't tried it in the last like 7 years. I used to try it when I was a broke college student. But I haven't tried it recently.
I used it to go to the convention center and it was fine. I had a longboard to the bus stop in Sherman Oaks and take the bus to the train in Universal, then take a train from Universal to downtown. So it was a little bit of hopping around. But if you have a specific spot where you're going that there's a stop there, yeah, I'm sure it makes sense. But a lot of the places we go, I don't know, maybe we could take it to the beach. Maybe we could take it, I don't know, like to the convention center like downtown.
We could take it to like the a Lakers game or a Kings game.
That's true.
At the Staples, I mean, not the Staples Center, the Crypto.com Arena, which is a terrible name. We could also take it to the beach, like you said. But yeah, I wouldn't.
But then we'd have to bring all this. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Doesn't. Maybe not the beach, maybe to like a game. Or I know there's like a metro to the Hollywood Bowl, and both you and I love going to Hollywood Bowl, and it
would actually
very
be so convenient.
Difficult getting out of the Hollywood Bowl.
The parking,
even the Uber. Remember the Uber? We had to walk like a mile outside of the venue,
and there was like no service. I got no charged service for that whole ride when we went last time, and I couldn't refund it.
Are you
the
serious?
Guy the guy never picked us up. That happened
but he
with
still
Lyft.
Charged you?
Yeah. That's Lyft I've dumb. Had issues with where they just won't refund me.
Yeah, they're not as easygoing as Uber, I feel like.
Yeah,
but
totally.
But we didn't mention the fact that we were actually in Seattle because we were going to the Eras Tour concert, a.k.a. Taylor Swift.
Baby.
Matt said he's become a Swiftie.
I thought her music was amazing. Some of it. Some of it's a little too poppy and a little cheesy, but in a good way. It's just not my style of music, but she's such an incredible songwriter. That was like one of the first things that stuck out to me when I was listening to her music. Because, of course, I've heard her music songs over the years on the radio, but I've never sat there and really consumed it.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely had so many songs that were moving, for sure,
and
to
not
me.
Only that, I found her like personality very cute because she was talking to the crowd and she would like laugh and giggle and like make jokes. And it was mm-hmm. very adorable. And she looks like a freaking Disney princess.
I mean,
she's hot.
She's so hot. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
And there's no coincidence that she filled up every single seat in that football stadium in Seattle. I mean, 75,000 people sold out. And when you're looking around, you're not seeing a single, I'm not even kidding, a single empty seat there. And so when you're that big, it's no surprise that she has such a charismatic, infectious personality. And that was something that I noticed also right away, was how cute and good she was with the audience and making her little gestures and movements and getting people into it and making people really feel a part of the show. It's not like she just came out there and performed a bunch of stuff like it was a halftime show. It really did feel as intimate as it could be at a 75,000 person concert venue.
She even cried after she was singing Champagne Problems.
Mm-hmm.
She started crying, being like, "This is the last pretty much leg of my U.S. tour. I just wanted to remember this. And I'm like staring at your guys' faces. If I'm staring at you, I'm so sorry I'm being weird. But I'm actually trying to memorize your guys' faces because it's my last tour of the U.S.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, that's so cute. Like, she seems like she loves her fans a lot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like some artists don't care for their fans, like Justin Bieber. But like Taylor Swift loves her fans. Oh yeah, Justin Bieber doesn't take pictures with his fans anymore. He refuses.
Really?
Like, he said it, and I get it because I'm pretty sure people bombard him, but he has said that he no longer takes pictures with fans.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, he constantly gets swarmed and bombarded and people throwing themselves, and that's just got to be so bad for your mental health.
I mean, like, yeah, like at Drake's concert, he was getting phones thrown at him and bras.
And a 36G bra. That's so funny.
But if you guys are looking to go to the Taylor Swift concert, I think we have a few tips for you guys.
What do you got?
Leave during karma and fucking run outside of the stadium because you will get stuck in there. So we went with our friends Mickey and Kevin. They're influencers as well. They live in Seattle. They had us book it outside during her last song, which was Karma. And we still sang it while like walking out. It was really fun. But Mickey runs half marathons, and both Mickey and Kevin run pretty often. And they started running, and Matt and I are just like, at least I was. I was wearing these cowboy boots that I'm wearing right now. They have like a 2.5-inch heel. I was trying to run as fast as I can, and I was keeping up, but I was like dead tired.
I was dead tired too. I mean, when I went to bed at the end of the night, I had 14,000 steps, and I also woke up that morning early to lift, so my body was pretty tired. But yeah, I was worried they weren't going to want to leave, because that is just a overall concert hack I've
always
done.
Does this, yeah.
You never stay for the encore. You leave as the last song is happening and you get out, because a lot of people just sit around and wait. And if you could just get that much further ahead of the big crowd, and you can hear the encore from the back. And Rarely in my experiences with concerts has there ever been such an incredible encore. It's usually never the climax of the show.
Yeah.
And at that point, she played 44 songs, 3.5 hours without stopping. It was definitely too much music. I wish there was a set break because it just didn't stop.
I will say that, yeah, I felt bad even sitting in my chair at some points. But the set was so long. It was 3.5 hours of singing and dancing and no breaks, maybe like 2 minute max. But Matt found a great hack. If you guys are trying to buy her merch, which she makes like $2 to $4 million a night on just merch sales, go during her set. Because Matt left to go buy Mickey and I a sweatshirt and go to the bathroom. And there was literally, what, how many people were in line? Was there a line?
At one point there wasn't a line, but it's not even go during the set. The real key that Kevin was talking about, because he pointed out the difference, is go during a song that fans love. Because he went during a moment where there were so many people, but then a song later, everybody loved, everybody just ditched the merch line and like ran to the stage or ran to their seats. So go during a good song if you want good merch, yeah, because people are not going to want to miss that, especially diehard fans. And even her 3.5 hour show, I was looking around and nobody was ever at a loss of interest. Like, yeah, people, I don't think, wanted a set break. They wanted it to keep going. I was shocked. Like, people did not stop singing word for word, just mesmerized by her presence, which was amazing. I mean, the energy in that arena was out of this world. Oh my God,
I thought I was going to cry when she first got on because the energy was insane. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the hugest Swiftie fan. I enjoy her music, but I never, like, listen to it the midnight it comes out, like, on repeat or anything like that. But I was like, I can't believe I'm here. This is so cool.
It was crazy. It was cool
because
to be a part
everyone
of.
Else was like, I can't believe I'm here. This is so cool. But I will say Folklore was probably the only time I was a little, I wasn't bored. I was just like letting myself relax and just sit down because that was the only album of hers that I didn't really know any of the songs.
I think most of those songs I enjoyed the most. They were a little bit slower.
Yeah.
I think the stage design and the set design during that was really just beautiful. And it was like cabin-y green. And it felt like you were in this little like Twilight movie. I don't even know how to explain it.
Yeah. Oh, also, even if you don't want the merch, buy the merch. Because I actually saw that on Poshmark. They're like doubled in price. So you could make a little bit of money if you wanted to go to a Taylor Swift concert. Just stay in line for the merch lines. But Lumen Field was really cool. They had really
so
good
cool.
food.
Such a good stadium. I mean, that's where the Seahawks
what
play.
A beautiful stadium.
People in Seattle are huge on their sports, especially the Seahawks. And I was very surprised. I had no expectations going into Seattle. And I got to say, I think it's my favorite city I've ever been to. It has a mix of all the things that I love. Everything was so beautiful. Everything was clean. It reminds me of Denver, the way that it's kind of small and the neighborhoods and everything is kind of walkable. And there's a cool mix of a lot of cool restaurants and spots and people. But then it felt kind of like Chicago, the downtown area with the big buildings, the alleyways, it being so clean in the public transportation system. But then it also felt like San Francisco.
Culturally,
with the hills.
It felt like San Francisco because there's a lot of diversity. You see a lot of Asians and black people and like a bunch of people that are not just, you know, like mixed races. And then the food culture in Seattle. Oh my God, Matt and I did not have one bite of anything that was bad.
So true. And I remember when I was looking up
even
restaurants.
Ciders.
What's that?
Even like the beer. I was like drinking
everything
cider.
Everything was so good. I mean, before we went, I was looking at restaurants and getting super excited. And I remember turning to you and being like, I feel like Seattle's going to be a really underrated city for food. I mean, they're right there with the water, fresh seafood, and just I could get a sense that there was a good culture around Seattle, but I feel like it's never talked about. Mm-hmm. Oh, and one thing also I realized it reminds me of is when you're at the edge of the city and you're by the water, it reminded me a lot of Santa Barbara, like the beauty of the Santa Barbara, like
you can
pier,
see the mountains.
The mountains and then the houses. And it's just, it was so cool. And then there's really all these boats going in and out. It was beautiful. Seattle was like incredible. I love Seattle.
I'm so down. I'm actually planning on going in September. FYI. I think you heard Mickey and I talking about it a little bit and I'll keep it on the DL, but Mickey and I are going to work on a project together in September, which I'm really excited for. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be back, but I kind of like, maybe should I extend it and have you come? Like you should come out with me in September? I'd want to come?
Yeah.
Because I do want to experience it in the fall, but I don't know if they have a fall. Because, like, for us, September in LA is still summer.
If they have a proper winter, I'm sure they have a proper fall.
Okay. That would be super
fun. I love
fun.
Fall time when it's crisp, you're wearing sweatshirts.
What would you say was your favorite thing you had in Seattle?
Food-wise?
Yeah. Like, if any of our listeners are going to Seattle, what's, like, a spot they need to try?
I love the Beecher's mac and cheese.
That was, like, the first thing that we, like, put in our mouth.
That was the first thing we got, and it was so good. Maybe we were super hungry. I don't know, but that stuff was incredible.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it was pretty unique and original. Like, it wasn't anything wild, but it was unlike any other mac and cheese I've ever had. It was delicious. I felt like I could have drank the cheese sauce, which was kind of light. It wasn't really thick and heavy, but the flavor was just this sharp cheddar, but it had this
bacon. They make their cheese on site, which was really, we should have bought some, but we didn't have a place to store it. I will say, I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Mickey and Kevin for letting us buy these tickets off of them and also hosting us for 2 days. They like showed us around Seattle, but they could have easily sold our tickets for thousands of dollars and made their money back and more.
Then they wouldn't have had fun going with us.
I know, but still, that was really nice of them.
True.
So I really appreciated that.
It was very sweet of them for sure. I'm trying to think what else was like incredible. I mean, obviously the omakase at Shiro. Oh my God. We love our lobster rolls.
We love a good lobster
roll. We did a lobster roll flight, which was super bomb.
Yes, highly recommend at Luke's Lobster right next to Pike Place Market. And I'm like trying to figure out, did we just stay at tourist traps? But I was really happy with the food.
But you know, even if the tourist traps are good, that's a good sign because a lot of times the tourist traps are just a little overpriced and never as
like
good as you think
stars,
it is.
Yeah.
Shiro was amazing doing the omakase. That was such an experience.
Yes.
That was unreal. Oh, I really liked June Baby, the restaurant we went to with Mickey and Kevin.
Oh, the Southern foods.
All the food was so good to me.
Oh my God, the pork shoulder was really good.
The pork shoulder was incredible. The mac and cheese was bomb.
I kept comparing it to Hatchet Hall, which has a Michelin star, so it's like a little difficult to compare.
Yeah.
But I do prefer Hatchet Hall. I will say the service at June Baby was really good. They were like really serving us. I will say
it's also a lot cheaper than
it was cheaper.
Hatchet Hall.
No, it ended up being like $240 for the four of us, which is, I would say, same price as Hatchet Hall.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. I mean, it wasn't anything incredible. We are very blessed to be in LA and we love our food. So anything that can even satisfy us, I feel like is a huge win. And I feel like everything we ate definitely satisfied us. We were very happy.
Oh my God. Mickey was like so shocked you had Foodies, the account. And I think we talked about this in last week's episode that Matt actually runs a food Instagram page with almost 8 million followers on it. And she was just so, she was like, how have I never heard of this? I was like, yeah, Matt doesn't really talk about it. But like Matt was getting us free food because he does like food marketing and it was really cool. And we got to try a lot. We went to Bite of Seattle and we got to try a lot of food because Matt was just like, hey, like, you know, like I'd love to post you guys. I don't even know what your spiel is, but you are really good.
I just tell them, hey, I'm here like getting content for the festival. If you guys want to be featured, hook up your best menu items and I'll like tag you guys with your socials.
Yeah.
And everyone is always so excited. And more than anything, the people working, what I realize is it makes them look good to their bosses. Like they're usually not the owners, but that is something that they did that will really impress whoever the owner of the spot is. Like when I went up to the Scoop and Dough spot, they were like, oh my God, our boss is going to be so stoked. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
You know, because it makes them look good if they're getting tagged and reposted by a huge account. It's like, damn, you guys really crushed it at the festival.
Yeah.
Here's a raise. No, I'm just kidding. But that was really fun. Yeah, Bite of Seattle.
We need to flex that muscle of yours more often because I love getting free food.
Yeah, free food is fun. I love free food.
Free food is really fun. Speaking of food.
I want to hear more about your trip, though. So you were in, and let the people know, because you were in
Portugal.
Lisbon for 7 days, and then you went to Paris for 3. So
let's
hear a little of the highs, the lows. I want to hear about the food culture, some of the best things. What are things people should do?
I don't even want to be truthful, because I feel like it's going to hurt
people. This is the Rotten Podcast, baby. Sometimes it's a little rotten.
Okay, I absolutely loved Portugal. The people, the atmosphere, the weather, the beauty, the history. But if there was one thing I will say about Portugal is that the food was not as yummy as I hoped it would be. Because after that, I went to Paris, which is known for their food. And after that, I went to Seattle, which is, you
know, not known for their food. Very unexpectedly bomb.
And then I live in LA. So I am very much, if there's one thing about me, I'm very much a foodie. I love good food. And I refuse to put bad food in my mouth. Like, actually, I will
You will not eat it. Even if you're hungry, you're like, no. You'll kind of try, but then you'll be like, no. I
waste my calories on bad food. And maybe that's why I've stayed so small. I don't know what it is. But Portuguese food, I love the pastéis de nata, which are these egg tarts that if you are Chinese, you've seen egg tarts before. They're actually originally from Portugal, and Portugal brought it to China. But they're these like savory and sweet egg tarts that have a crispy dough outer shell that is delicious. So I ate my fair share of that. But I will say the food itself is very like salty and meat based, which is not.
I thought you said it wasn't salty, like it needed salt.
No. It was not spiced.
Okay.
There was no spice. It was either very bland or very salty. No in between. There was no spiciness. They would say like, oh, like this is a spicy version. And you'd be like, this is ginger. Like to them, yeah. Spicy is ginger. Like wasabi, not like spicy, like hot chili pepper spicy. And
do you think you just didn't get the best experience, or what would someone that lives there that loves their food say to you hearing this critique?
What do you mean?
Would they be like, oh, you just didn't get the right things? Or
I mean, I did the pastéis de nata and I love those. But of course, like I probably didn't go to the right restaurants. I probably didn't try the right thing. Like
it's like when we went to Morocco, we kind of felt the same way. We're like,
I wouldn't go back for the food.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back for the food.
I wouldn't go back for the food. And that's me being honest. That doesn't mean I hated being there. I loved being there. I walked so much. Oh my gosh, Alfama, the neighborhood is beautiful. We also visited Sintra and Porto. I will say Porto had better food. It was a lot prettier and the weather was just so nice. So I will say the food in Porto was a little bit better, but I could not find a good meal in Lisbon except Asian food. And I feel so bad saying that I ate Asian food while I was in Lisbon, but in Portugal, they actually have the longest history of Asians being in their country because they used to be the number one country in the whole entire world, right? Because Portugal is known for their ships.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah. So they were like the USA of their time, like 500 years ago. They were the ones that sailed and figured out the maps.
They were like the world leaders at the time.
Yeah, they were the world explorers. And so they actually have the longest history of Asians in their country. So their Asian food is top tier. So I did go to Avenidas or Je ne sais quoi Asia. That was incredible. That food was incredible. But that was Asian food. But I didn't get like a good Portuguese meal. Although I did try octopus salad, which I liked. And then I did try like beef carpaccio, which I liked. But it wasn't like anything as good as like being in Paris food or Seattle food.
That's okay. It's okay not to love the food. I mean, you can't go to every country and be like, the food is the best. It's amazing.
Yes.
You know, we love our specific type of cuisine. So even if it is the best of what it is, it's not going to be our favorite. You know, we love Thai food. We love Mediterranean food. We love Asian food. So if it's not in that
realm
in Italian food, if it's not in that realm and American food and Hawaiian food and
we like a lot of food. We just learned we don't like Moroccan food.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure out if I like Portuguese food. But the people in Portugal are so sweet and so nice. I actually had a guy say hi to me because he saw me taking a lot of photos. I was exploring Alfama, which is like a really hilly neighborhood. It's beautiful. And the guy was like, oh, like, have you seen this amphitheater? It's kind of run down. It's hidden. Not a lot of tourists see it. So he kind of showed me the way. And he was being really nice. And I need to be better about saying no to things. But somehow it led to us grabbing coffee together because he was like, do you like coffee? And I was just like, oh, yeah, like, yeah. He's like, let's grab coffee together. And I was like, I don't fucking have time for this. But he was so nice and sweet and was like helping me like explore the neighborhood. I was like, okay, let's just like grab coffee for 15 minutes. But I did buy it for him so that I did not feel the need to stick around and hang out with him.
It was like a date.
Yeah. So dude. I was like, I'm going
to
pay.
Hey, let me take you to an abandoned amphitheater. Follow me down this sketchy alleyway. Sure.
Yeah. No, he was nice. It was just like, I mean, I trust myself to know that I can run away or scream or hit him with my little selfie stick that Matt bought me, and then Matt just broke the mic.
No, it's fine.
That was Portugal. I feel like not a lot of people have visited Portugal. It's not as like Instagrammy as people think it is, but oh my gosh.
All your photos, I was like shocked. I mean, I have no
colorful city.
Yeah, no perception or expectation of what it is, but all your photos looked so beautiful and colorful, and just the different, like everything on the street and just the texture of the whole land was so beautiful.
It was cheap too. My freaking Uber Blacks, €8, which is like equivalent of $9 to go like 25, 30 minutes.
Wow.
Versus 3 days, like 4 days later, I was in Paris to go Uber X, literally less than a mile, maybe 8 minutes max, $30.
Yeah.
And that's why I had to force myself to figure out the subway system, because although I make money, I just can't comprehend spending that much money when I can walk for 15, 20 minutes. So I was walking a lot in Paris, but then I was like, fuck this. Let me figure out the subway system. And I got it so fast. It's so easy.
All right. So Lisbon, what was the best part of it? And what would you recommend someone to go do who's interested in going there? Break it down for the people.
Visit Porto. It's more of like the coastal city. It has better food. It has the famous Harry Potter library that J.K. Rowling got a lot of inspiration from. So she actually based Harry Potter off of Portugal. Wow. Did you know this?
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I guess in Portugal, the students wear those black capes around. And so that's how she got the capes that they wear in school at Hogwarts. And then the famous library in Porto, that's where she got the idea of like the staircases in Hogwarts, and where she got the entire vibe of Hogwarts.
Cool. Yeah,
so it was really cool to see like where she used to like live, because she used to live in Porto, in Portugal.
I had no idea. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. So I would say Porto is beautiful. Definitely visit Porto. And that was that in Paris. I love the shopping.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time. I didn't even know there was
food and shopping.
Yeah, I didn't even know until you dropped 10 grand on an Hermes bag that getting designer stuff, there's such an art form to being almost admitted into them, like selling you something, which makes so much sense, Hermes, right? That's like selective luxury. It makes sense why they would do that. But I didn't even realize that was a thing where you have to kind of like be someone they want to sell to, or they're going to kind of keep it selective for the right people, which does keep the integrity of it being very high end.
Yes, but some people really hate that Hermes does that and is like gatekeepy and exclusive and weird. But I still played the game because it is a beautiful bag that you can get once they do offer you a bag, but it is really weird. And it didn't make me feel good, even though I did actually get offered something, which I was shocked at. I was pretty, because it was my first time. I had no history at Hermes, but they did offer me something that they don't offer people. They pulled me to this. I don't want to say it because I want to make a whole video about it and show it. So I don't want to talk about it. But they, at first, were like, we don't, like, they were kind of saying, like, we don't have it.
For
like,
you.
We don't have it. And then I was like, I was not interested in anything. And I had just, like, picked up 5 scars. And they were like, well, like, this girl clearly, like likes our stuff and is interested and has the money. And I was looking at, like, the stuff they were letting me buy. And I was like, I don't want any of these. And I was like, what about these? I was looking at the things that were on display that were, like, in locked boxes. You couldn't really get to them. And she was like, she looked at her coworker and was like, can she get one of these? And they were talking in French. So I couldn't understand. Her coworker
like looks you up and down.
No, literally looks me up and down, looks at me, thinks about it for a second. And I think she said only if she buys the exotic ones. And so I ended up having to buy the exotic ones, which are like 3 times the amount in prices. But they don't even offer the exotic ones to people unless you have a history with them. So like it was even a supposedly a bigger deal that I even got offered this, because not everyone gets offered these exotic things. And when I say exotic, it just means that like it's not normal like Epsom leather or Chevre leather, like not like a normal calf leather. It was like
some exotic animal.
Ostrich, alligator, crocodile. Like I got something exotic, which I can't wait to show you guys. Yeah. But be wary. Just be wary if you're ever traveling, you know, by yourself anywhere. I think Matt and I actually stumbled upon the Dubai porta potty.
Oh my Lord. You were telling me about that. It's crazy.
There was a girl that was traveling by herself in Dubai and then somehow got herself in a situation that she now has to go to therapy for. So you want to start out the story? Because you loved reading this story out loud. And maybe we should read some of like the tweets that we found about it.
But maybe we should just give a high level of it. So you had told me about this thing called the Dubai Porta Potty. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much told me there's a thing going around Twitter where really rich men are paying celebrities, influencers, beautiful women $1 million to pretty much diarrhea in their mouth.
Yes.
And I could not believe that.
No.
And so we looked it up on Twitter. We found someone who was documenting some woman's specific journey.
It was her friend.
And the story is just, it's so disgusting that after I read it, I just felt so icky and grossed out.
Okay, so let me start by saying, when I was like, would you ever let someone pay you to shit in your mouth? You said you'd be willing to get paid $1 million. And I was like, I don't know if you really understand what I'm saying.
I think I changed my mind after.
So you did change your mind after, because you realize it is very manipulative. And this is really the dark side of influencing, because I feel like a lot of these younger influencers, a lot of these like really young girls that are really beautiful, think nothing bad's going to happen to me. You know what? I deserve to have a rich man paying for me to spend time with him or being a sugar baby, whatever it is. But there is this girl who she told her friend this entire story, and he kind of tweeted about it and changed names. But what pretty much happened was this girl was just traveling in Paris specifically and met like a good looking rich guy. And she was just like on a yacht, and he secretly asked for her number. And so they exchanged numbers. He had flown her out to Paris. It was a normal trip. They went on a normal date. He didn't even try to fuck her. He just was trying to gain her trust. And so she left the night kissing him.
And he was like taken back by the kiss. He's like, whoa, like you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, that's kind of weird.
That's weird. That's really weird, right? Because he's a good looking guy. She's a good looking girl. He spent money on her. He took her to a really nice restaurant, put her up in a really nice hotel with a view of the Eiffel Tower. And she just didn't get any, which she was kind of expecting to get, or at least put out for it. So that was that first trip. Then he sends her out again. This is when the Dubai thing happens. And this is where you kind of pick up the story.
So he sends her out to Dubai.
Yes.
And she takes what, like a private plane, gets flown in, gets dropped off. She gets dropped off at this crazy mansion in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, this girl has a boyfriend and she's cheating on him, or trying to, with this really rich guy. She tells her boyfriend, oh, I just have like a work thing layover I need to stop at.
Yeah.
Start of a horror movie right now. And then she goes there. She sees all these pretty women influencers kind of standing around a little awkward, and there's guys and people are kind of mingling and everything's kind of fine, but she sensed a weird energy with some of the women. Like they felt kind of nervous, and she was just trying to make small talk, be nice. She thought this was just a normal party.
The thing is, the girls were drinking alcohol. What were the guys drinking?
The guys were drinking coffee.
Yeah.
The guys were drinking coffee, and then they had this elaborate meal. Mm-hmm. Like so much food, just incredible. Everyone's having a good time. Then all the girls get sent back to their rooms. So they go back to their rooms. They kind of go to bed, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., someone wakes them up and pretty much tells them, like, okay, come with me. It's time to go. And this girl was a little confused.
She's like,
she was a little like, what's happening? And then they're like, pretty much like, the games are going to start.
We're going to play games so, at 2 a.m.
So then they go into this room, and apparently there's like all the furniture and dining and everything that was previously in this room before was all gone. So this was just an empty room that had been cleared out. I guess there was like sex toys all over. There was like buckets. There was like a bunch of just weird stuff going on. And pretty much the game started, where these guys would pretty much just go around and pretty much do the most vile stuff to these women. And the whole thing was they had to make it through the entire, it literally was like a game. Like they
Can
had
I
to make
add some yeah, more yeah. information really fast. Okay. So the girls who were nervous previously are now even more nervous. And the girls who aren't nervous are the new girls. So it ends up being that the super nervous girls are the girls who have done this before. Mm. And the fact that they even came back is a whole other story. So this is when the main protagonist finally realizes she's at a bunny mansion. So she's assuming that they're going to have sex and do weird stuff. But I don't think she ever realized how weird things were going to get until
the main girl looks over and she sees this guy just take a shit in a bucket. And she's like, what the hell is going on? He then proceeds to reach into the bucket, scoop up his own shit, and hand feed it and shove it into another girl's mouth.
And he just stared at her until she opened up her mouth. And he just shoved it in, closed her mouth, and just stared at her until she started chewing, going, yum. Mm-hmm.
And ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, at this point, she realizes what's going on, and she finds out that you can leave at any time because she wanted to leave, but you're not going to get any money.
Yeah, so she did ask someone if she could leave, and they're like, you can leave. You just won't get money, and you have to figure out your way back home. So no private plane, no car service, and mind you, she's literally in a mansion in the middle of buttfuck nowhere in Dubai. So there is really no way for her to get home, right? And they also, on top of that, took away their phones. Mm-hmm. So she'd have to walk her ass in the middle of nowhere. So she decided to stay. And throughout the entire weekend she was there, she believed that they were only feeding the girls so that they could throw up. And there were girls sliding, like a slip and slide, down a poop-filled like arena and licking while slip and sliding, like,
and just diarrhea. And the guys were just popping laxatives like they were like Molly.
Yeah.
Just popping them and getting this insanely sick, disturbing enjoyment out of this ridiculous power dynamic of making these girls just do the most vile things and just dominating them as much as you could really dominate a human being without physically like hurting them. I mean, this is like emotional trauma to the max, but
they
I mean, it's
also
so disgusting.
Putting poop inside girls, you know what? Oh, which to me is like, that is like,
it's dangerous.
The worst UTI you could ever imagine. Like, I cannot believe they were letting these guys do that. And on top of that, it was only for 50,000. Like, I don't know. I maybe have so much self-respect for myself that I couldn't imagine doing it for that little of money, because that isn't a lot of money, no matter how you spin it.
That's, you would need more than $50,000 worth of therapy, yes, and drugs to get yourself back to hopefully normal.
Yes.
After this.
Yes.
And so a bunch of nasty stuff. And then at the end of
the, didn't even let them sleep in regular beds the entire weekend.
Oh yeah.
Right?
They made them sleep in the filth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like no shower, no filth. And then eventually at the end of the weekend, they let them shower. And then all the guys were together like eating breakfast and they just were acting like nothing happened. And that's the Dubai porta potty.
What I don't get is, how do you learn that this is something you enjoy as a guy? Like one of the rich guys. Like, I don't look at poop, and I would hope you don't look at poop being like, I wonder what that would look like inside of a girl.
Well, it's kind of, yeah, I have no idea how you get there, but I'm sure with a lot of money, a lot of privilege, a lot of power, you just get into a really weird, yeah, headspace where nothing's really doing it for you. You've done everything that's kind of excited you, and where you get that dominance and you kind of just return to the most nasty, vile things possible to give you some sort of enjoyment, like power feeling. And it's kind of like,
you almost feel like numb to everything. Like nothing gives you like that, yeah, dopamine.
It's kind of like
rush.
Celebrities, you know, you hear about all this like partner swapping weird stuff that goes on in Hollywood because all these celebrity actors, they've kind of had everything that they've ever wanted. So just regular sex, regular relationships don't really stimulate them anymore.
That's true.
And so once you kind of pass that threshold of what the normal person gets fulfillment from, then you start getting into the weird human mind. And I mean, our minds are pretty weird, mm-hmm, right? Like we are very close on the brink of going insane. You know, we're not that
starting
far
riots,
away from anything,
yeah,
you know?
Killing.
I mean, we saw what the pandemic did. Like,
would you kill someone if you knew that there was zero chance anyone would find out or anyone would care? You probably would.
No. Speak for yourself.
No, but
if
I'm
there was
saying,
a reason to kill them,
yeah,
yes.
There's a reason.
If there's no reason, it would have to be a really big reason to like end this person's life. Like that is like, I feel like that's a pretty powerful thing to like take a soul off of this earth. Like you're not God, you know, you don't get to determine when people's time is. So they would have to do something that was like, but I also think like death isn't really a punishment.
So you're saying you torture someone?
Well, no, I'm just saying like you kill someone, everything goes away. You know, like, but anyways, I'm just saying human beings are on the brink of so many different things. We don't even know it, but you get in your car and all of a sudden you become a different person, road rage, like something could piss you off at the wrong moment. And all of a sudden you do something that you wish you never did. I mean, these things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a crazy surprise. It's just really nasty to actually hear the details and hear that this is something that happens.
Yeah.
And sorry to anyone if we ruin your day by listening to this nasty, vile story. Hopefully it was entertaining.
You can find the video on Twitter. If you guys just search Twitter Dubai Porta Potty on like Google, you'll be able to find a video. And it's genuinely disgusting. And it wasn't like she got to, you know, like gag. She had to like hold in the gag. And it's almost like, she's definitely done this before, the girl that's in this video, and it's a lot.
It's not a little thing. I don't know who's going to want to listen to this.
It's not little. I'm forcing you guys to listen to it because I had to go through it. It is not a little, okay? And it's not brown. It is yellow and green.
Okay, and I think we should stop there.
No. I'm hoping she at least got a million because that was insane. I don't know. But you hear these happening where influencers are sent out and hang out with these rich yacht guys. And
she knew what she was getting herself into to a degree, not that level, but she knew she was going to pretty much give up her body in exchange for something like money or luxury. Mm-hmm. And that is a very common thing. I mean, we've even seen with Lala from freaking Vanderpump Rules when she went and got flown out by Randall. It's like, you didn't love this guy. You knew you were just doing it because
she
whatever.
She got a Range Rover. Yeah, she got a Range Rover.
So, it's kind of like the culture of America, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like American dating celebrity, famous, rich culture.
And actually, I actually had a friend of mine that I used to be friends with. I wouldn't say we're much friends anymore, where she actually was on a private jet, and she's an influencer. She was on a private jet with a lot of rich guys, and she actually had a falling out with another big YouTuber because of what she ended up doing. So she had brought, Sarah was on a private jet with a lot of rich men. She brought a friend named Taylor. Taylor's not an influencer, but she's a really hot girl as well. And Taylor's friend, who she's really good friends with, is another big influencer. Let's name her Minnie Mouse, okay? So Minnie is a big influencer. Sarah's a big influencer. Minnie was not on this trip, but she's friends with...
They have a mutual friend.
They're mutual friends with the hot girl. What was her name again?
Taylor.
They're friends with Taylor. Taylor goes on this trip, realizes they only want her for her body. She doesn't want to be around this anymore. And all the rich guys are looking around being like, why is Taylor so weird? Going up to Sarah being like, why is your friend so weird? And Sarah tells Taylor, suck it up. Smile, you're hanging around rich white guys. Everyone wants to be us. And so Taylor then tells Minnie Mouse what happens. And then Minnie Mouse and Sarah are no longer friends because of this. Because you shouldn't force a girl to have fun just because she's around rich men. That's when dangerous shit happens.
That's really messed up that other women are perpetuating this culture. I mean, it's such a tough place. Yeah. Like that just is so bad.
Yeah.
Because then, of course, other women are going to be like, hey, what can I do to get ahead? Let me do that. Whatever, if I have to suck a couple fucking dicks to do this, like if it's going to put me ahead, like life is already really hard.
Yeah.
And other people are saying it's okay. And other people I look up to that are more successful are saying it's okay.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue. So, it happens. One thing leads to another. You might end up in a Dubai porta potty. So moral of the story, don't go on private jets or get flown out by rich guys.
Yes.
That should be common knowledge, but in case it's not common, here's the knowledge.
It's the dark side of that of attention. Side of things. Yeah.
The dark side of attention.
Yeah, and I'm sure like people are like, well, it's like a once in a lifetime. Like, it's going to be a funny story when I'm 50 years old to talk about. But no, no, sweetie. No.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Well, anyways, I think that's been pretty good. We should probably wrap up there. And I'm happy we're back in it. Next week, we'll definitely get back to the rotten Am I Rottens? And we'll have some good stuff for you guys.
So yeah, if you guys haven't already, give us some rotten confessions. Maybe if you've experienced a Dubai porta potty.
Maybe people in the comments can comment any stories or submit stories of people they know or some of these situations happening.
Yes.
Would love to read them. Maybe we can read one aloud on the next episode.
Yeah, you can submit it anonymously on our Google Sheets as well.
That's probably a better thing to do.
Yeah, but that is it with today's Rotten Podcast. If you guys haven't yet, give us those 5 stars, baby. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.